All right, and men, we have a men's breakfast coming up next Saturday at 8 o'clock down in our fellowship hall. I want to encourage you. It's been a long time since we've gotten all of the men together. And so it's a free event, but you do need a ticket. You need to sign up. You can do that in the foyer, or you can call the church office this week or email us. We just need to know how much food to buy and be ready for. So come on, guys, let's get together and have a great time next Saturday morning. I want to welcome in those of you who are online this morning. Some of you are at home because you're not feeling well today, or you've got a family member that's not. Some of you are at home just because you're social distancing. Some of you, I know you've been home for a long time and you feel really alone, but we want you to know you're not alone. Your church family loves you. We haven't forgotten about you. God bless you as you're participating from your home. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll be there in just a minute. Last week, 2 weeks ago rather, we started a brand new series on the Holy Spirit. And we've entitled this series, The Helper. And we take this title from Jesus' words in John chapter 14 and verse 16, where Jesus made this promise. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. So the Holy Spirit helps us in so many different ways. He's helping us all day long in ways that we're not even aware of. God in his wisdom knew that in order to have power to live the Christian life, we weren't going to be able to do that on our own. We were going to need help. And so he sent us the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, last week, Pastor Roger taught on the Holy Spirit, and what we learned about the Holy Spirit is we learned that the Holy Spirit is God, but we also learned that the Holy Spirit is a person. So he's not some impersonal force or influence. He's actually a person that wants to have a relationship with us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in so many different ways every day. The Holy Spirit helps us understand God's Word. So when you open up your Bible, you're reading your Bible, you always want to ask the Lord, Lord, help me understand what I'm reading, right? Give me spiritual insight because this is a spiritual book. The Holy Spirit also helps us in our prayers. He helps us to pray effective prayers. The Holy Spirit helps us by giving us the right words to speak at the right time. The Holy Spirit helps us when we're tempted, tried, and tested in life. And then the Holy Spirit also helps with us with something we're going to talk about today. The Holy Spirit helps us to think clearly and correctly. The Holy Spirit helps us think clearly and correctly. So Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 8. And as we're reading this, it's not going to be up on the screen. Hopefully you have your Bible or a device with you that you can follow along. If you don't, just listen really carefully. And I want you to identify in this passage of Scripture all the times that Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit helps us to think clearly and correctly. All right, Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So a lot there about how the Holy Spirit helps us to think clearly and correctly. And we're going to back up to verse 6 again and really kind of drill down on this one verse because it's central to this entire passage. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. These are the gifts promised by God to his children. Life and peace. I want you to know God wants you to have life. He wants you to know life. He wants you to live life. He wants you to live it to the full. And he wants you to have peace in your life. How many of you could use more peace in your heart? Amen? These are gifts from God. And of course, it all starts with Jesus. It starts with knowing him, because without Jesus, there is no pathway to life and peace. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So it all starts with Jesus, but then it also comes about, life and peace come about when our minds are being governed by the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to think this morning, along with me, I want to invite you to think about the importance of how we think. Think about the power of our thoughts, okay? And I want to go to that great theologian, Dr. Seuss, who wrote this wonderful little book called Oh, the Thinks You Can Think. And the whole book is all these fun things that kids can do with their imagination. So I just pulled out one page, okay? You can think about Kitty O'Sullivan Krause in her big balloon swimming pool over her house. All right? It's the power of thinking. It's the power of imagination. Everything in your life begins with a thought. So this is why Paul writes, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Every great invention started as a thought. Every great piece of art, every beautiful piece of artwork started as a thought, right? Every powerful novel started as a thought. Every successful business started as a thought. And on a personal level, every good decision you've ever made in your life, it started with right thinking. Every bad decision you've ever made in your life started with bad thinking. Every life-giving word that you've ever spoken into someone else's life, it started with a godly thought. Every condemning word, every word of death that you've spoken to somebody, it started as an ungodly thought. So bad thinking leads to death, while good thinking, godly thinking, thinking brings about life and peace. Life and peace. Now I want you to take note of this word governed. This is the New International Version that translate this Greek word into the word governed. I like this translation, actually. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. To give a couple of, different shades to understanding this Greek word, I just pulled out a couple of different translations so you can see how other translators translated this word. The English Standard Version uses the word set here. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The New Living Translation uses the word control. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So it's this idea that there's going to be a framework to how we're going to do life. And your framework is either going to be built around your carnal desires or your framework is going to be built around God's Holy Spirit working in your life. And you can choose to build your house however you want to, but the reality is the house you build is the house you're going to live in. So if you're going to focus on the things of this world and the works of the flesh, that's the house you're going to live in. That's going to be your framework. But if your framework is saying, Lord, I want your Spirit to control my thoughts, I want your Spirit to lead my life, then that is the house you're going to live in. Charles Talbert describes Spirit-governed thinking this way: an orientation in which God is one's ultimate concern and one's enabling power. So the focus is on God, not only having a God-centered mind, but a God-controlled mind, where God now is leading and empowering my thinking. So as I was just giving some thought, what's the difference between having a mind that's being governed by my flesh or a mind that's being governed by the Holy Spirit, I've thought of a few things that I've listed out here. A flesh-governed thinking is going to focus on self. It's going to have a self-centered agenda. It's going to aim to please the self. It's going to adopt secular values, and it's going to have a humanistic worldview. But Spirit-governed thinking is going to focus on not self, but on Christ. And we're going to adopt God's agenda. Our aim is to please God. We're going to have kingdom values, and we're going to have a biblical, not a humanistic, a biblical worldview. So I want you to just be honest this morning. This big question: who's governing your thinking right now? Who's leading how you're thinking? Because there's a myriad of things that affect how we think and what we think. First of all, the type of brain you have. Do you know we all have different kinds of brains? Do you know that? Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a really different kind of brain. Yes, we have different kinds of brains, right? Another thing that's going to affect our thinking is just our chemical makeup. We know that. Our diet, our sleep patterns. But also things like our history, our story, right? The family you were raised in has a profound effect on how you think and how you process life. Traumatic events from your life, and we've all had them. Traumatic events will affect how we think. Significant influencers in our life, parents, coaches, teachers, pastors, friends, mentors, significant people, they've had an impact on how we think. And then culture. I mean, I believe, church, we have to pay attention and be aware of how culture impacts how we think. Marketers and advertisers spend billions of dollars trying to understand how we think and affect how we think. They have a financial interest in knowing how your brain works and how to influence your thinking to make a favorable impression of their product to produce your mind to want to have their product. Billions of dollars are spent on this industry. And then add to that the internet and social media. You know, in the beginning, the internet was lauded as this wonderful new way that people all over the world were going to share ideas with one another, share information, and the world was going to create this beautiful space where people could safely share their ideas and people would come together and there'd be more free thinking. But social media has become just the opposite of that. Free thinking has been rejected in favor of group thinking. So if you share a thought on social media that contradicts the group, watch out. I mean, that is like letting blood into the shark-infested water, right? That's how it is. Groupthink. Groupthink has been something psychologists have talked about for years, And here's how it's described by Psychology Today. Groupthink is a phenomenon that occurs when a group of well-intentioned people make irrational or non-optimal decisions spurred by the urge to conform or the belief that dissent is impossible. The problematic or premature consensus that is characteristic of groupthink may be fueled by a particular agenda, hello, or it may be due to a group member's value in harmony and coherence above critical thought. Okay? So here's how a lie typically works. We hear a lie, and usually right away we know it's a lie. But then someone else says it, we still know it's a lie. But we have taken note that, wow, there's more than one person that believes this. And then we hear the lie again and again and again and again. When you hear a lie told over and over again by multiple sources, pretty soon you start to think you're the one that's wrong and that lie is the truth. Now, it's still a lie, but now you're believing it's the truth, right? This is how a lie works, because our minds want to say to us, wow, if so many people believe this, it must be true, right? No, not right. Man, there's numerous examples in the Gospels where Jesus was the only person in the room who was right, and everybody else was wrong, right? And then add to this more recent scheme of social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. All of these platforms use sophisticated algorithms to create a space that you're personally attracted to. Why? Because the more time you spend there, the more money they make because of advertising. And so they are constantly analyzing what you like, what colors you like, what you like to hear, because they want to suck you in. And all of these things, guys, have a profound effect on the way we think and what we think. And then add to that the spiritual reality that the devil is real and his goal is to destroy your life by destroying how you think. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. It says, the devil is called the god of this age. And it says, the god of this age has blinded unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there's this spiritual reality. There's a devil who is a liar, Jesus said, who's out to deceive. And my concern is that there are so many Christians now that are taking their cues from the world instead of from the Word of God. Do you see the connection there? If the world is under the influence of the devil and Christians are under the influence of the world, then what influence are Christians under? Yes, instead of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 5, following verse 6, is verse 7 and 8, says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now, how many of you think I'm sounding like an alarmist today? I am an alarmist because it's alarming, right? And we need to wake up and understand this dynamic of all of the things that are trying to influence our thinking. We're up against a lot, church. We're up against a lot. But thank God, God has given us the power of His Holy Spirit so we don't have to live under the dominion of this world. That's why the Spirit of God has come. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this is what we're going to pray for this morning. When our minds are not filled with the Spirit of God, when our minds are not filled with the Word of God, when our minds are not focused on Christ, when we're not filling our hearts with the things of God, when our minds are not guarded, there's an entry point for the enemy to come in and bring all kinds of lies into our lives. So this is the ultimate source of fear and depression and confusion and bitterness and hatred and lust and covetousness and greed and a hunger for power. All of these things, they start because the enemy has had entrance into our thought life. But thank God, God has given us His Holy Spirit so we don't have to be victims to all of that. Amen? We can become conquerors, overcomers through Jesus Christ. We can choose to be filled with the Spirit of God. We can choose to set our hearts and our minds on the things of God. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if this was a one and done decision on our part? Wouldn't that be great? Like the day I gave my life to Jesus, He just came into my life and my thinking was transformed and it just stayed that way. That would be great if it was that way. It's not that way. Right? This is more of a lifetime achievement award. Right? This is more of an ongoing process. Right? Sometimes men will come to me and ask me for help in understanding their wife. As if there was some, you know, secret key or magical pill that I was going to give them. Pastor Tim, I just don't understand the way my wife thinks, right? And so I'm usually going to start with a question like, well, how well do you know your wife? What kind of person is she? Huh? I mean, what's her personality type? What does she love? What does she hate? What's her favorite color? What's her biggest fear? What's her greatest dream? Huh? Listen, guys, you will never figure out your wife, what your wife is thinking, until you first take the time to get to know your wife. Now, I'll tell you, in the first service, all the ladies said amen right there. You ladies missed your chance. Yes. And church, in the same way, you will never get to know the mind of Christ without investing in your relationship with Christ, without spending time in His Word, without spending time in prayer. And I'm not talking about just praying over your meals. That's great. But if you want to get to know Jesus, it takes more than praying over your meals. God bless my food. Amen. It takes more than that. It takes time. Spending time getting to know Jesus, getting to know Him. Spending time in worship, in prayer. Being with God's people whenever you can. It takes time investing in that relationship. There is no replacement for personal time with God. Amen? Listen, you can do fine without hearing from Tim, but you're not going to do very well without hearing from Jesus. Right? We got to press in to get to know Him. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how many of you this morning would just say, I could use more of that in my life. I could use more renewing of my mind. Amen? I could use more transformation, transformational thinking, transformation in my thought life. Hallelujah. This is why God has given us His Holy Spirit. And I know, you know, I painted kind of a bleak picture for us this morning of what we're up against, but I want you to know that the power of God is so much greater than everything in this world. Amen? The power to transform and change and save, it is so much greater than anything the devil will throw against you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon that the enemy will throw against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. So we're going to bring our thought lives to the Lord this morning. We say, Lord, protect our minds, transform our minds, change my thoughts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you bow your hearts with me right now? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, join me on the platform. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something that might seem a little odd to you, but we're praying for our thinking right now. So I'm going to ask you to just take your hand and just put it on your head right now. Just put it on your head. All right. Just put your hand on your head because we're going to pray for our thinking. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. God, we need help. We need help. We need your help with our thought lives, God. Lord, I pray that you will help us to guard our thinking against the deception of the enemy, against the lies he will try to invade our minds with. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us take our cues from you and not this world, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, your word says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So no matter how intelligent a person is, no matter what they've invented, no matter what a great doctor or attorney they might be, your word says without you, if they don't acknowledge you, if they say there is no God, then they're actually a fool. Forgive us, God, from taking advice from fools, following the direction of fools, God. Lord, transform our thinking, God, we pray. Fill us with yourself, God. Fill us with godly thoughts, pure thoughts, loving thoughts. Lord, we don't want to live our lives culture up. We want to live kingdom down. Your kingdom come, your will be done, God. Not only in our world and in our nation, God, but let your kingdom come, your will be done. Right here in my own thought life, God. Have your way, O Lord. Have your way, God. Let's stand to our feet together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to ask this morning if there's anybody here that just in general, you'd be honest enough to say that you've come to realize that a lot of the way you're thinking is being more directed by the world than it has been by the Holy Spirit. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just come before you. I thank you, Lord, for those that are raising their hand, just being honest, saying, wow, I've come to realize that my thinking is being so directed by the things of this world. God, I pray, Lord, that we will not conform to the pattern of this world, but transform by the renewing of our mind. Help us, Lord, to keep our minds guarded. Help us to fill our hearts and our minds with the things of God. Hallelujah. How many of you would say, just be honest today, you've just been feeling like, this doesn't mean you're not a good Christian, but there's just been kind of a heaviness, a darkness, maybe even a depression, and your mind has become a place where there's not a lot of joy and uplift right now, and you know that you just need a change of mind, you need a change of direction in how you're thinking. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for transformed thinking, God. Those that have been weighted down and they feel like they're just in a dark place right now. Lord, you've not come to bring darkness. You've come to bring light. You've come to bring life, Lord. The devil is a liar. He's a thief that comes to kill and steal and destroy. But that you have come that we might have abundant life. So God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for abundant life, Lord, to invade our hearts and invade our minds, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How many of you just, I don't know how else to describe this, but I'm feeling this from the Holy Spirit. You would describe, and it's pretty serious for you right now. I feel like God wants to do something just so powerful, but you describe the way you've been thinking right now is tormented. You've just been tormented in your thoughts. And that's just the word that's coming to mind. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Just your thought life, you just feel like the enemy is just tormenting you. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, I pray, Lord, for those that are just lifting their hands, just being honest. They feel tormented in their thinking. God, this isn't from you, that's for sure. This torment does not come from you. So in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, I bind the work of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for those tormenting thoughts to be gone, and they're going to be replaced by clear thinking and life-giving thinking and by the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God, turn our hearts and our minds toward you. God, off the things of this world. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now listen, those of you who just responded to that, just been feeling tormented in your thinking, I want to invite you to do something, not right now, but I want to invite you to do it soon, in the next couple of days. I want to invite you to talk to a trusted brother or sister in Christ and just say, look, could you pray for me? I've just felt so tormented. You need to talk to someone and let someone pray with you, all right? And someone to encourage you with that. Because the enemy wants to use that to destroy you. But God has something so much greater and so much better for you. So talk to somebody, all right? Let them pray with you. Let them lift you up in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our praise to the Lord. Lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for your people right now. God, that in the place, God, of these tormented thoughts, of these depressing thoughts, fearful thoughts, in the place of anxiety, God, now you would flood our lives and flood our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us right now, God. We are vessels just waiting to be filled up. Filled up, God. Lord, we give you control, Lord. God, forgive us for taking too much control of our lives. God, we want to be governed by your Holy Spirit. We want to be governed by your word, God. We want to be governed by you, God, in all of our thinking, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's respond to the Lord this morning by worshiping him and lifting up his name.